In verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. I want to preach tonight a message entitled Idle Words. Now, this passage of Scripture finds the Lord Jesus Christ giving a solemn and stern warning regarding the flippant, the irreverent, the blasphemous, the arrogant words that men speak on a daily basis. Since God is a God of holiness and perfection, I take this verse to mean exactly what it says. If a man's words do not measure up to the holy standard of God's word, and to his righteous nature and his moral law, that man will have to give an account for his speech in the day of judgment. There will be a book of remembrance opened at the great white throne judgment that records the wicked works of all the unsaved. Yes, I believe that the great white throne is a literal judgment, that the lost of all time will be summoned in the resurrection of the unjust dead to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ in all of His majesty, in all of His glory. And it says that another book was opened, that the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. But I think those other books are books of remembrance. And God is going to reveal to those sinners what they said, what they did, how they behaved, how they rejected whatever light God gave them, whether it be from creation and the general call, or whether it be a direct gospel witness. They're going to give an account for everything they've ever said or done, and that's going to determine their place in the lake of fire. Interestingly enough, a man's dead works, his works of unrighteousness, do earn him something. There is a just recompense of reward for the unsaved. Their works do earn them an eternity in the lake of fire. And I'll be the first to admit tonight that I have spoken so many idle words in my lifetime that are damnable, that deserve to be eternally punished by a holy God. I expect that book of remembrance to contain every idle word that unsaved men and women have ever spoken, and they'll be judged accordingly, which will determine their level of punishment in the lake of fire. You see, the lake of fire, there will be different levels of punishment in the lake of fire. It'll be all fire, but some will be worse than others, according to how Jesus said that it would be more tolerable for the cities of the plain, Sodom and Gomorrah, than for Capernaum, that had so much light given them because that was the unofficial place where Jesus resided during his earthly ministry. And they saw him firsthand do his work. They've got more to answer for than Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, to be more specific, And that's in a great generality. Their words will be judged. And in a day and age when people say a lot of things, most people don't even give a moment's thought that their words are going to be brought to judgment. That they're going to stand before the most holy person in all the universe and have to give an account of what they said. Now, to be more specific, I'm sure that there are several kinds of idle words that God will bring into judgment. The moral law that revealed in the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not bear false witness. It also says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Two of the Ten Commandments have reference to the use of idle words. But the moral law forbids bearing false witness. So words of lying and slander will be brought to account. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So included in those who will suffer in the lake of fire are those who are considered to be liars, those who bear false witness, those who slander. Everybody here tonight is told a lie. I know it. Because the Bible says, let God be true, and every man a liar. Another category, words of blasphemy. Especially those that are directed against the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Those words will be judged according to the warning that the Lord Jesus gave in Matthew 12, 31 and 32. Where he said, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. So blasphemy against God and specifically the Lord Jesus Christ. You ever heard somebody say, that you ever been questioned, what is the unpardonable sin, the one sin that God will not forget? And I've heard Arminians say, well, it's unbelief. No, it's not. God forgave me of my unbelief. I lived in unbelief for 21 years. Every single day, those sins were compounding. And he wiped away that sin debt, my unbelief, and I still have unbelief. When I don't trust God like I should. When I worry, when I fret. So that is not the unpardonable sin. There's only one unpardonable sin. And Jesus revealed it as blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God. Now, what exactly that constitutes, I'm not sure, but the context is they were attributing the works and power of Christ to the spirit of the devil. I wonder how many charismatics and Pentecostals through their false teaching on the Holy Spirit blaspheme Him. We're also warned in Scripture against making rash vows with our mouth. So those vows left unfulfilled will be judged. I personally believe in making vows, making resolutions. I think it puts good, solid stress and pressure on you as a responsible believer. You read all the way through Psalm 119, you'll see resolution after resolution, vow after vow, where the psalmist says, I'm going to live according to your statutes. I'm going to walk according to your ways. So making a vow or a resolution in of itself, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. But to make a rash vow and not intend to fulfill it, I think a lot of people who make false professions not only make a rash vow in that false profession, but they compound it when they're baptized into a church, because that's a vow as well, that you're going to live for the Lord and serve Him in and through His New Testament church, and you are betraying your salvation profession and vow as well as your baptismal vow when you walk away and don't serve the Lord through His church. But here's what Ecclesiastes 5:2 and then verses 4 through 6 says. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. Verse 4, for thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for He hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands. So just scratching the surface so far. Lying, slander, blasphemy, and unfulfilled vows that you don't intend on keeping. We're also warned in Scripture against corrupt communication. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. We're also warned against words of malice in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. I didn't write this one out. I don't have it memorized. I think if I get the first couple words, I'll remember it. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So evil speaking and malice are words that are going to be brought into judgment. How about filthy jokes and foolish jesting? Ephesians 5:4, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thought of thanks. The Scripture also condemns talebearing, tattling, and gossip. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 12. Having damnation, because they have cast off their first faith, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. These are words that are going to be judged. And I'll tell you what, when you bear false witness, or you gossip, or you engage in that kind of stuff, it's serious. I had to talk to the executive session of the school board at Chesapeake on Monday night, because somebody had accused one of our coaches of racism. I'm going to tell you what, it's wicked. when you throw that word out there and your allegations are completely off base. I know the coach in question. If there were five kids that had purple skin that could dribble and jump and win a state championship, he'd start every one of them, regardless what color they were. But we live in a society where people are emboldened to bear false witness. We saw it on display in our country with the last Supreme Court hearing. I wonder how many idle words were spoken for the entire nation to see. They were on display. And they'll be brought into judgment for it. I've only scraped the surface of what the Bible has to say about idle words. Now, as I've been preaching this tonight, is there a little part of you that's gnawing and saying, wow, I've been guilty of speaking idle words. I've said things that I shouldn't. So another question might be asked, how do all the idle words of saved people come into judgment? I believe saved people are fully capable of speaking all the idle words that I've referred to, with the exception of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, which cannot be sin that cannot be forgiven according to the word of Jesus Christ. So you examine your life, examine your heart, your mouth, and what you've said. You're fully capable, and so am I, of any and all of these idle words. The good news is that Jesus clearly stated that we can be forgiven for idle words. That there is forgiveness. The Spirit of God who dwells within each believer will do the work of judgment by way of conviction. Maybe a message like this may touch a nerve, may expose something. The idle words that you've been speaking that you haven't been convicted of, and the Lord uses a message or a verse to bring it to your mind. That's the Spirit of God judging you as a believer, and bringing these things, because that's one of His works, works of righteousness and judgment. Not all judgment is eternal condemnation. We, when we're convicted by the Spirit, we must hearken to His sovereign work by confessing and forsaking our idle words, our sinful words, according to His promise. The promise in 1 John 1. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sins. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The exhortation and application that we can draw from our text tonight is clear and it's direct. Guard your thoughts, because a lot of times they turn into your words. Guard your thoughts and your words by daily praying with the psalmist. He said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Psalm 19:14. Replace idle and wicked words with words of edification, of grace, of encouragement, so that you won't be guilty of grieving the Holy Spirit. As a child of God, your words can grieve the Spirit quench the Spirit. The Bible says, and I've quoted this once, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Learn to bridle your tongue and to bring it under the control of the Holy Spirit so that you and I won't say stupid, mean, hateful, hypocritical, bitter, and wicked things. James 2, chapter 3, really, most of that chapter deals with how we ought to bridle our tongue. And he makes it a point to show how inconsistent it is for us to, out of one side of our mouth, be talking about the Lord and His glory and what's right, and the other side, things that dishonor God. He said, Can a bitter fountain bring forth sweet? No. It's inconsistent. So we need to seek the Lord. We need to ask Him to teach us to speak like a believer who was washed in the blood of the Lamb and sanctified by the Spirit, instead of talking like a reprobate or a hypocrite. That's really the essence of James chapter 3. And we don't have time to look at all of that tonight. Use your words to praise God, to pray, to witness, to preach the gospel, to speak a word in season to those that are down, to speak words of encouragement and help and blessing to those that are in need. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. It convicts me as I think about the idle words that I've spoken this week. Speak the truth in love in your home, in the Lord's church, in the workplace, on social media. What a powerful transformation would take place. If God's people would be convicted of speaking idle words, and endeavor to govern their speech according to the glory of God. We need to make application of the exhortation in Colossians 3. It says this, verses 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Idle words. May God search our hearts. Let's go to God in prayer tonight. Pray for this Bulgarian brother.